This is the Need to Know Morning Show, brought to you by the Power of Zeus. Work smarter, not harder, with the Power of Zeus Sales and Rentals. Find out more at ZeusRentals.net.
Just saw a, we're talking about the Sphere and her winner, Deanna, who's heading to see the Wizard of Oz on Valentine's, thanks to Kingpins and All Sager Meats and Frontier Airlines. Saw a clip in the break. I was just looking through the social feed here, and it was the Eagles doing their current residency at the Sphere singing this song. That would be, that'd be right up there for a quick, sooner-than-later bucket list item, you know? Need to Know Morning Show, 8:10. It's Kevin and Alex. It's Thursday. We're coming towards Super Bowl weekend with a lot of warmth.
Gonna be super nice today. Dean says 40, but yeah, he kind of wants to go higher. So yeah, I'm all for it. Gonna be gorgeous today. Tomorrow, a little cooler at 19. Saturday, the wind's kicking in and 26. Sunday, 36, but by back to work Monday. We'll be at 40 again, so kind of an up-down thing, but at least it's not below zero, and it's going in the right direction when we're in the 40s.
Yeah, for sure. I know you're not into into football, but do you guys do a attend a Super Bowl party or anything, or
just too late. Watch it? I go to bed at 7.
Yeah, no. Maybe stay for halftime or whatever.
No, absolutely no.
Like okay, yeah, gotcha.
I wish they would have it Sunday at noon. So I could participate, do a little something, but they don't, or Saturday.
Right?
It's just stupid. They do it too late, so I don't.
Why don't have it? Maybe Super Bowl Saturday at the same time. You could make a Saturday night thing out of it. And
yeah,
that's
that would be
not
fun.
A bad idea at but all.
We've been talking about this for years, but for some reason they never move it.
Just saying. Hey, got a chat with Steve Carney. It's Thursday. It's 8:10. That means Steve Carney's on Talking the Great Outdoors, brought to you by the team at ATI Diesel, ATIFargo.com. ATI Diesel, I can just say, first of all, diesel maintenance, nobody better. It is in their DNA. It is in their makeup. They live, eat, and breathe these engines. They have since they were youngsters. 30 years combined experience for the team. They're certified under ASC, NAPA, Auto Value. They get a, by the way, veteran. And cash discounts are available, too. General maintenance on your fleet, if you've got one, or on your rig. Tons of great custom options. And check out the lifts and the bumpers on the. I have bumper and lift kit envy every time I check out the Facebook or the page at atifargo.com. And you can follow ATI on all their social media, too. Steve Carney, you got to be happy, happy, happy. Whoa. The 40-degree day coming today.
Oh, yes. I can feel the tingling up my spine right now. This is awesome.
Wow.
It's about time. I think we bottomed out, with the really bad weather. So it looks like we're trending up, which, yeah, if that doesn't put you in a good mood, I don't know what will.
It puts Alex in a good mood. I know
it
that.
It does, yes.
Every time I can get above zero, I'm happy, pretty much. I'm okay with it anyway. But you shot me a note about we're talking about inline ice fishing rods as opposed to the traditional, you know, little spinners you see all the time. I've got like four of them that I never use. But what? Clarify that a bit. What's the difference, and what were you trying to show me with that?
Well, just imagine a ice fishing rod and a hockey puck on the back end. That's basically what an inline reel is. It's just kind of a spool that's underneath the handle. And, you know, the problem with it is if you're in deep water, you have to hand over hand that line all the way down. You can't just drop it down like a spinning reel. And I've been using them for a couple of years, and I'm not really a fan. I'm not comfortable with it because I don't think they're balanced very well. All the weight's in the back with a really light tip, and I'm just not a fan. I just can't get really comfortable with it. But, you know, people do use them, and I use them, you know, in shallow water. If it's 6 or 8 feet of water, I can just hand over hand down. It's not a big deal. But if you're in 30 feet, it's a real hassle because you got to keep peeling line off. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
You have to pull it up. You have to hand over hand it when you're pulling a fish in?
No, you can reel it up, you know, pulling them in a fish, but when you're dropping the line down, if you're using tungsten or whatever, you got to hand over hand it down. It's just,
okay.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the popularity. But, you know, it's just another little ice fishing thing, you know, that everybody checks out.
Well, I'm fishing with Steve Kearney, so I'm doing whatever you tell me. That's all I know.
I was going to say I spent a couple of days, you know, checking some new lakes, which I do a lot. I went to a little 300-acre lake down by Battle Lake a couple days ago. I've never heard of it. And I went on the DNR website, and the last survey was 12 years ago, which is very typical. A lot of these small lakes that you don't have a lot of recreational traffic and don't really ever get surveyed, hardly ever. And I go, well, I'm going to give it a shot. So I go there, spent from noon to 3, just kind of checking it out, and I caught 16 largemouth bass that were between probably 3 and 5 pounds. And not what I was looking for. I was looking for crappies, looking for walleyes, but the flip side is this is a heck of a bass lake. So this goes in my logbook as a successful trip, and it's going to be in the back of my head for people that want to fish bass. This is going to be an amazing bass lake in the summer. Because, you know, in the winter, largemouth bass are very neutral. They're not very active, and you don't catch many of them. They're pretty rare, but to catch that many in a three-hour period, it's like, oh, my goodness, this has got to be an incredible lake. And half those bass, I could hardly get up through the 8-inch hole. They were so fat. So that was successful. Even though I didn't catch, you know, what I wanted to catch, I learned, hey, this is a great go-to lake. And that's why I prospect all the time.
Well, that's good.
That's what I love about you. Yep. You go catching with this guy. You don't go fishing. The next week looks really warm. What if you were to be, you know, crazy and out when it's 15 below versus 40 above? What do the fish do? I mean, what do they do? What's their habits when that happens? When that big 50 degree temperature swing happens?
Well, actually, it kind of turns them on a little bit. I think it's just the rising barometer and the consistent, you know, temperatures are really what it's all about, whether it's summer or winter. If you can get 3, 4, 5 days, same wind direction, same temperatures, it just gets better and better. But as you guys know, we've been getting these clippers every other day, which totally shuts down the fishing for 36 hours because the wind switches to the northwest and everything changes. And then when it goes back to the south and we get 2 days of south, fishing's good. So it's very predictable according to the weather. And when I look at it next week, I see consistency. I see temperatures basically remaining in the 30s, maybe high 20s. That's good. No matter what time of the year, whether it's ice or open water, that's really what, you know, what you need is consistency.
Yeah, with anything, pretty much the case.
Yeah.
All right, so any spring when the water gets open, are you any trips up north? Are you getting out, heading out west anywhere? Are you staying close to home? What's your schedule look like?
Well, it looks like the Missouri River, you know, out in South Dakota usually starts happening here about the middle of March, and that's only 5 or 6 weeks away. So I'm kind of thinking I got to get one of my boats out and start preparing for that because, you know, that's
I knew he'd say that. That's why I asked him.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready yet. I mean, I'm still in the ice fishing mode, and I just loaded up my truck this morning to go out later today, and all that junk you got to bring ice fishing, and then if you have to switch gears for open water, you know, it's a challenge to do all that. So, yeah, I'm thinking about that. I've looked back in my logbook over the years, and I can get on the Missouri River right around the 15th of March. And, you know, when the ramps open up in the towns and, you know, things get going and the ice isn't flowing, that's some of the best fishing of the year. Even though you're probably driving on glare ice all the way out there, it's when you get there. I mean, there's been some mornings I leave, you know, Minnesota and it's 15 degrees and I'm on glare ice, and then as I get to Sioux Falls it improves, I get to Mitchell it gets a little better, and next thing you know it's 77 degrees in the afternoon, you're in a t-shirt. Just amazing. Exactly. So
all right,
looking
my
forward
friend
to that.
Got any openings if somebody wants to book a little guide trip to go out and do some catching?
I'm kind of ramping down a little bit here just because I'm getting towards the end of the season here and, you know, thinking about open water, but I'll be out, you know, probably fun fishing. You know, I never get the fun fish. I want a fun fish. So that's I don't want the pressure. So I'm gonna go out later and poke around, and so looking forward to the 40s. I'm just glad we're done with this 23 below stuff, man. I'm telling you, I just got enough of that.
I hear you. All right, amigo. Safe travels. We'll chat next week.
All right, you guys take care.
Thanks, Steve.
There you go. If you do want to reach out or get in touch with Steve, it's super easy. It's just stevecarneyoutdoors.com. So it's go Steve Carney. It's Carney with a C. stevecarneyoutdoors.com. You can get a hold of him there. See what his schedule's like, what your schedule's like. Maybe you want to book a trip in sometime this summer. Take a family member out. I like the ones where, you know, someone takes their veteran grandfather out with Steve.
Yeah, those are cool.
Things like that. And usually he does a giveaway every year to take a veteran fishing. So looking forward to all of that when the water is a lot softer. You know what I'm saying? Not the water's water, not rock hard ice. All right, a couple of texts here we need to get to, buddy. We got more TiVo, don't we, too?
We do, yeah. We have Nancy Grace talking about Savannah Guthrie's mom and the latest on that.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
A lot of texts to get to. We'll get to those. Maybe Dean has more weatherman pickup lines. you never know.
No. Lord, right. Save us.
Need to Know Morning Show on the Flag. Be right back. Need to Know Morning Show on the Flag. Kevin Flynn, Alex Taylor, AM 1100, 92.3 FM. Got a check-in. We get a check-in now and then from Hill Country, Texas. Hill Country in South Texas. Call it Hill Country, kind of northwest of San Antonio in Hill Country.
Worked down there for a short period of time.
Beautiful down
it's
there.
It's gorgeous.
823, I thought of one for you, Dean. It was, sweetie, there's a warm front coming. And I think you should stay warm with me. Something like that. There's something around a warm front. I got a warm front for you.
I love it.
We got like three texts. Dean basically, LOL, made me spit up my coffee. So
that's what we're here for.
Yeah, it was funny. 3-degree guarantee is very nice today. He went 40 for all of us.
Yeah, so. 140. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we hit 42, 43, but we'll play it a little conservative. But, hey, it's going to be a beauty out there. We're starting out the morning in the 20s. I mean, that's warmer than we should be for an afternoon high. Again, 40 for your 3-degree guarantee today. Snow melting. West-northwest winds, not bad, 5 to 15. Cold front swings through tonight, and it does turn windy out of the northwest. We'll drop down into the teens, and windy, colder tomorrow. We're stuck in the teens all day tomorrow. And then the weekend looks better. A little breezy on Saturday as winds pick up out of the south, warming us up into the mid to upper 20s. And then we're in the mid to upper 30s on Sunday, and then we're back to 40 again on Monday. Not bad.
I like it.
And then all next week, it looks like we'll have temperatures in the 20s, which is not far off of normal. And a slight chance of snow on Tuesday, but no big storms right now on the horizon until it looks like after Valentine's Day weekend. That's when we have the potential of a potential bigger storm in the northern plains. We'll keep an eye on it.
There's always a bigger storm coming.
It usually is. Yeah. We could use the moisture. We could use the snow. You know, we're about a foot down, a foot below normal. We're still ahead of last year, not by much, but we're ahead of last year's pace. But boy, oh boy. Again, for our snow lovers and even our companies that make money off of this moving snow in the winter, haven't had a whole lot to brag about this year, but, we'll catch up a little bit later this month.
I always do.
Yep. Exactly. Are you going to us? I was asking Alex. Really don't because of pastor bedtime. Are you guys doing a Super Bowl party or just hanging at home?
Yeah, just going to kind of hang at home and watch it. Because going to bed that early. If the Bears were in it, that'd be a totally different story.
Totally different deal.
But I'm pulling for Seattle. I don't know. What about you guys?
If the Bears were in it, you wouldn't even be here.
I would be calling in sick Monday. I can tell you that. No
exactly.
doubt.
Win or lose, you wouldn't be here.
No doubt. Seattle or who are you going for?
Seattle? They're going to be there. I'd like to see Darnold win it.
No doubt.
Have you seen all the different things you guys that you can bet on the Super Bowl?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's more ridiculous every year.
It's crazy. And you know what I miss too is the commercials used to be spectacular.
They did, yeah.
I know.
They're kind of lame now. I don't know if they're just thought put into it. I mean, the Budweiser commercials used to always be the best.
I hear they've got a new one that's really good, though,
with Eagles
and all that kind of patriotic stuff.
Okay.
So they're going back to the basics.
Well,
there.
That's fine, but mix a funny one in.
Doritos usually had a good one.
Yep.
But
Bud Light Gay was the best one ever. Adam Sandler and Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh,
they
turn
the faucet on and Van Halen starts playing.
Yep.
Beautiful
man.
Girls. That's still in my brain. There's been some really good ones, though.
But there are tons you can bet on, yeah.
Well, you can bet on all the – you've always been at, like, point spread and stuff like that on the line. And then they got into the player performance-specific things. He'll throw for over under this many yards or run for this many. Can still do all of that. And the cheating, I was listening to a thing with the PA was talking about, you know, when you get into these individual things where a receiver has to make a catch up to this or a quarterback gets this many yards throwing, when an individual can be corrupted to, hey, if you only throw 175 yards, there's $500,000 in it for you. You know,
that's the problem.
Now it's getting a little too tight past that. But now you can bet. And the reason I brought this up is Steve-O put out a little – he's got a little gift card for the staff. We're doing a little jersey day tomorrow. Wear your Bears colors, by the way, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
The duration of the Super Bowl national anthem over under at 121 seconds. You can – on the halftime show, which I won't be watching, what color the liquid of the Gatorade bath will be.
Right.
How many times Taylor Swift is shown or whatever celebrity is there. It's crazy. Can bet on all of it, but they don't allow us to do that in Minnesota. You can't be on any of those apps, but I just saw that, thought I'd ask you.
Well, come on over to this side.
Yeah, there you go. All right, buddy. Thank you much.
You got it, man.
Couple texts for us, AT, here. By the way, it says, Alex, if the rabbits are white, they are jackrabbits, and they get huge.
Yeah, these things are huge. They're like as big as my dogs. They're like 20 pounds. They're crazy. I've never seen a rabbit that big. And Jay came in, and he's telling me, yeah, there's more on the other side of the building that are even bigger. Like, wow. I'm going to have to take a look.
Every once in a while, one of the first time years ago when we were at the new location and I was driving in, and one was ran across the road. It looked like a dog. It looked like a fox or something. And it was like, then it stopped. I was like, oh, that's a rabbit. We got a ton of texts. Let me just see if I can burn through some of these. Back when Byron Dorgan hired Ed Schultz, changed himself into Air America's answer to Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. Schultz used Guns and Roses for buffer music. I threw up in my mouth whenever I hear it now. Don't play. No more Guns and Roses.
Stop.
Sorry about that. It's just Duff's birthday.
It's been a long time.
Let's see here. With those pickup lines, I would say it sounds more like a forecast for partially diluted. Let's see, with a chance of going home alone.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Very good. Keep them coming, 701-237-1590. That is the Red Wing Shoes and Boots text line. We'll get a quick business report, a headline update from Jim Miller in the newsroom, and I think TiVo?
We do, yeah. We've got Nancy Grace on the TiVo talking about the latest with Savannah Guthrie's mom in the interview last night that the family put out.
All right, Need to Know Morning Show. Be right back. Need to Know Morning Show on the flag. The incredibly lovely Sarah Evans.
This is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah. She, I think it's Jay Barker, the guy that she married, but I think if I'm not mistaken, I think she has 5 or 6 kids. Yeah. She's a mom a lot.
Get out.
Yeah. I'm thinking, don't quote me on that, but I think so. It's her birthday today. So we like playing birthdays, birthday music. Yeah, it's Alex and Kev. We got a 40-degreeer coming.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. 40 degrees. I am pumped on that. Dean said, you know, might go a little warmer, but he was going to stick with 40 anyway. So I'd be just fine if he gets a little warmer. 45, even better. Tomorrow, though, 19, 26 Saturday, but it looks like it's going to be windy there. Sunday, back up to 36, and Monday, 40 again. So not too shabby.
All right. There's that. And the weather brought to you by Bravera Bank, rooted in the heart of our community. They're formerly Vision Bank. Same great people, same great location, same great mantra. You know, we love it when you're banking local. Get off the app. have a meeting with your banker. Brevera brings a couple of dynamics. One is wealth building and a retirement planning, as well as insurance and all the banking, personal, business, mortgage team. Forge your path with Brevera. If you want to ask them any questions, 701-364-2020, and they'll make it worth your while to make the switch. Get off the app and the chat. Have a conversation with your banker. Got a couple of texts here. One is going to Red Lake this weekend. Where are the crappies going to be? Red Lake. That would be a Steve Carney question. Steve, yeah. Any idea there?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, come on. That lake is, yeah, this is an encore presentation here. Red Lake is amazing, and the crappies are starting to come back again after, you know, having some great years, and it slowed down, and now they're coming back. I don't know. I would just have to get out there and find them on my own. I really couldn't say where exactly, because it's really just a big bowl, and there's not a lot of structure on Red Lake. But the fishing population is so incredible. If you move around and drill a lot of holes and stick to that 8 to 11 feet of water, you're going to find them somewhere. I mean, it's just that good of a fishery. It's just so unique and amazing, but you're not going to be alone. Let's put it that way. There's going to be a ton of people there, and there has been for a couple of months. So get away from the crowds. Get away from the noise. Get away from these big groups. You know, some of these portable groups, so you'll have 75 to 100 in an area, and you really got to get away from that, because there's four-wheeler sounds and snowmobiles, and just get off, you know, branch off on your own, and, you know, get to the outside. You'll find them. Just keep moving.
Got another one quick. Mr. Carney, where are the walleyes in Lakes Country going to be Saturday with this warm weather? What's your best guess on the hot bite?
You know, I've been getting walleyes in 30 feet of water while I'm crappie fishing, and that's a little unusual. I would say probably stick to that 22 to 32 feet. They really haven't started that, you know, shallow move, you know, to the break lines, you know, where they will be here fairly soon, where they start moving back into the spring areas. But right now, these deep basins, there's northern pike in there, there's walleyes in there, there's crappies in there. And it's been an after dark bite, as we've talked about for the last couple of weeks. I can't buy one of those fish during the day. It's very, very difficult. And now it's like 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. So if you're going out on Saturday, concentrate on that evening bite, because the daytime is just, it's February. It's always like this. And just make sure you move around, try to mark some fish or maybe catch one or two, and then get set up for that night bite, because it's amazing how they can come in there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. But that's been, you know, the trend almost everywhere now for a couple of weeks.
All right. Don't say I don't get your questions answered. I had to call him back. I didn't want him to leave those be out there. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem. I'm always at your whim anytime, Kevin and Alan.
All right. Well, appreciate that. Yeah, any time. I'm going to shoot those in. Just try and get him to me before he's on, because it's hard to check that text line when we're having the conversations. So, yeah, get him in early. 8:40. We got a bunch of those. We'll check them after we do this, TiVo. I want to hear this.
All right, TiVo. Yeah. This is Nancy Grace, and she gives her thoughts on Savannah Guthrie and her family's plea for their mother's safe return. She's on Hannity.
See, I didn't realize. The one thing to caveat of this is I didn't realize Savannah Guthrie was worth like $40 million. But go ahead.
We continue to monitor the home of Nancy Guthrie.
We're going in.
101.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
too much, Sean.
They probably, but we have to watch.
I'm a little early,
and this is what I discern. I discern, number one, law enforcement absolutely knew that this statement was being made. They probably helped them prepare it. I know Savannah. Savannah would not go rogue. We worked together at Court TV. She's covered many, many cases like this. She knows what's happening. She would not go rogue and do this against law enforcement's decision, much less the FBI, for Pete's sake. Of course they knew. And they probably coached them or helped them. Number one, what else does it tell me? To take the ransom notes seriously. There's a lot being thrown around in the media that, is it real? Is it fake? Is Bitcoin? Blah, blah. Well, apparently that note had something in it that made Savannah Guthrie, who knows the law like the back of her hand, try to reach out and speak to whoever sent it. That tells me that possibly the description in the note was accurate. Only the family and law enforcement would know that. And they have chosen, Savannah and her brother and sister have chosen to engage with whoever wrote those notes. There's something in that note is accurate.
Okay, so I agree with you. I can't imagine that they would go out there with this statement and basically asking for proof of life, talking about a willingness to talk. I don't think they would do that at all without taking into account the real possibility that law enforcement deep down believes this is a very real possibility of a kidnapping and a ransom. Now, those cases are treated very specifically. How would you imagine this now begins to unfold?
Well, we've got to wait now. We're playing their game, the perpetrator's game. One other thing I can glean from this, Sean, is that there's been a lot of speculation. It's from it's an insider very close to the family. I think if the family thought that, they would not be speaking on Insta to an unknown party. I don't think you would see this
exactly
happening. What we're seeing, this extraordinary moment right now. They want proof of life, and it can't be some AI image. They want to know she's alive. They want something in the background to show she's alive. It's got to be something that strikes them as real.
That would be hard in this day and age, though. There's so much AI out there, but I'm sure they have the forensics to figure out what's real and what isn't if they do get something back from this person or people if they kidnapped her.
I don't know. I know this is a news story, but I'm praying for the family. I don't want it to happen to anybody, but it seems like there's maybe some bigger fish to fry. But
that's just me. Trump chimed in on this too. I mean, these kidnappings are pretty rare. They don't happen very often.
Yeah,
but
that's true. Yeah.
Nancy's concerned that the random note took so long to surface, and then for the family to make a plea took a long time too.
And again, we're playing the perps game. I don't like that. We're going to have to wait on them to respond, see what the response is. What if we don't hear from them for another day, 2 days, 3 days? Did you notice it took a long time for the ransom note to appear? That was concerning to me. And another thing, Savannah and her family have been through H-E-double-L because they haven't come forward and spoken until now. Did anybody ever think that in her position, in the limelight, in the public, she was told that that may throw fuel on the flame? I'm sure she was following the directions of law enforcement. And now she's spoken. I hope that makes everybody happy so we can now focus on finding Nancy Guthrie.
It's weird, though. I mean, most if you hear of a kidnapping, it's a child or something like that, not an 84-year-old woman. It's just really odd this whole thing is.
Yeah, this is just going to be a random. I don't think anybody was targeted here. They probably, if they were casing the neighborhood or whatever, my bet is she.
Well, if there's probably a ransom note, if the note's legit, they're going to want people with money that can pay it.
Period. Yep. Exactly. And
investigators went back to Guthrie's home with search dogs.
Dogs. What does that mean? Were they looking? Was she taken into the garage? You have to look to see where they're taking the dogs. Then it looked like they were doing somewhat of a grid search around the area, like out into the woods a little bit. Did they get a tip? Or did they think that they had missed something? I thought they opened up the scene way too early. That's just me, you know, having handled thousands of crime scenes. But they went back to that scene. That scene could have been tampered
Nancy,
close the scene.
Okay, we have cadaver dogs. We have drug dogs. There are dogs that are trained specifically to seek out electronics that may be hidden somewhere. I mean, it could have been any number of reasons why those dogs were brought in there. But you're right. They did expand outside into the property. Okay, what do you think they're looking for?
I think that they may be looking for the approach into the home. There have now been reports of a male that does not live in the neighborhood that had been in the area leading up to the time that Nancy was taken. Are they trying to pick up a scent there? I think that they've gotten a tip. They've gotten some kind of information. They had to go back and check it out, and they brought dogs. That's what I can surmise right now. And that's very serious to bring the dogs back out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they uncover anything today, if the people that wrote the ransom note respond. I'm assuming they would, because they're saying Nancy's mom needs her medicine or she's not going to make it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. More texts here to the Red Wing line, 701-237-1590. You can always call that Fidium studio line, 2701-271-1100. Anything we ever need to know. Hey, guys, watch what Smithfield is doing with buying up food lines, China-owned Smithfield Foods. And now that's Albert Lee, the big Smithfield plant down there. CCP has complete control of their people and knows what they are doing through AI data centers, cell phones, and satellite locations, as well as us. Isn't that wonderful? That goes back to your TiVo about the
Chinese biolab.
Biolab in Vegas. Welcome to Las Vegas. Alex, Kevin, and Dean, have a beautiful day and enjoy the 40-degree temps. It's 50 in Bismarck.
Nice.
Check in from Bizman. Weatherman pickup line. It's going to be cold tonight. I predict getting a... No, none of that.
No, not meant for air.
Here's one. Someone sent to... How can you be so hot when it's so cold outside? Ah, there you go. That'd be a good one for him. Good morning, Kevin and Alex. As always, listen to you guys till 2 o'clock every day. I can hear is one I got yesterday around 1:30 in the afternoon. Thank you for all you guys do. Oh, nice fish. Picture of a nice wally.
Very good.
Hey, we love hanging out with this app thing, man. It's awesome. Knowing people. Oh, here you go. Here's one from here. Pick from Orange Beach, Alabama last night. Oh, beautiful moonshot over the Gulf of America. Thanks for that. We live vicariously through you, although I'm going to get some warm weather this weekend. Fraud seems to be growing in what they are finding. Hearing about California fraud numbers growing, but it's not talked about on the major networks except Fox. We got to keep talking about this fraud because it's everywhere. California is in hold my beer mode. From what I've seen, it's unreal.
There was like some hospice fraud, I think, going on there that Dr. Oz uncovered.
Yeah, it's
coming out. I think Nick Shirley's heading there too.
Oh yeah, and Gavin's heading our way because you know, as soon as the midterms are over, he's going full tilt boogie to be the president. Gavin Newsom, President Newsom. Give that
new scum, no scum.
Oh, got some bad goosebumps on that one. All right, 11 in front of 9 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and put a fork in this bad boy. Next, Need to Know Morning Show on the Flag. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for being here. Need to Know Morning Show on the Flag. Looking at this forecast just puts a smile on my face.
See,
and then,
it doesn't mine.
No?
No.
I mean, looking at a weekend where I'm not having to hibernate and rewatch football games.
Yeah, you're getting out of Dodge anyway, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'd rather see a nice big snow come through here and
you stop it over there.
You're stuck at home over the weekend.
You stop it.
And oh man,
there is something to be said for a good storm day, though.
There is,
you know, big pot of chili and a bunch of TV.
Yes,
bada bing. But not today.
No. No,
not today.
No, a nice one today. Some high clouds moving into the area right now. Not Cheech and Chong clouds, but, high in the altitude clouds. Yeah, so we're looking at...
Nobody was thinking that.
Was I the only one thinking that?
Maybe Uncle Kev. Maybe. I don't know.
We've got partly cloudy skies today. We're in the 20s right now. We'll make it up to about 40 with a west-northwest wind about 5 to 15. A cold front comes through tonight, switching our winds to the northwest, dragging down some colder weather, 15 for a low, and we're not going to move much tomorrow, 19, that's it. So, and it's going to be windy, so much different day to end the week tomorrow than today. And then the weekend, a little breezy out of the south on Saturday as we start to warm up into the 20s, and then we're in the 30s on Sunday, and 40, back to 40 for next Monday. And then cooler weather settles in for the rest of next week. Not cold, but cooler, temperatures in the 20s. Slight chance of snow on Tuesday, but then the rest of the week right now looks quiet. I still think something's going to be cooking after Valentine's Day weekend. We'll be keeping a close eye on a couple of storm systems after that, according to the LRC. But other than that, pretty quiet weather. So enjoy it.
We've been warned.
Enjoy the quiet weather while it's here.
We always do.
Just to be clear, I would never associate Cheech and Chong with a cloudy day.
Well, that's, yeah.
I would, or chemtrails. And, be chemtrails.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. But that was a good one. That was a good one. All right, buddy. Appreciate your accuracy as always. You know that. Text 701-237-1590. Someone sent this in that did you guys see this? A Cole Harbor farmer in North Dakota is starring in Budweiser's Super Bowl commercial.
Oh.
Yeah, they sent a link to, looks like, KFYR TV in biz. Super Bowl commercial, one iconic Budweiser Clydesdale, a bald eagle, and a North Dakota farmer, Brian Franzen, fourth-generation farmer from Cole Harbor. My great-grandfather immigrated over from Sweden to Cole Harbor, said Brian, and the story goes on, but he'll be in the commercial with the eagle and the Clydesdale.
Very
nice.
Thanks
for the link to that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Jay's reaction yesterday, throw a saddle on that one, looking out the window, was hilarious. Oh, the size of the rabbits.
Oh.
I was watching the rabbits, too.
Yeah, they're huge. I could believe it.
They're huge. Texter says, when are you going to realize that NFL is run by DraftKings, FanDuel? If you support the NFL, you support the cause. Roger Goodell is a parasite. Yeah, I'm not a Roger Goodell fan, that's for sure. I don't know. I like watching guys block and run and pass the football and do that. That's what I like to do. So I'm not a fan. That's what I do. So, and there's a lot of other, we're past it. I guess if they're woke, that's some wokeness. I'm okay. I'm not watching the halftime show. Does that help?
You got better places to go.
I'm watching the turning point thing. Thank you so much for getting Steve back on. You rule, Kev. Hey, no problem. He's happy to do it. Could Clinton, what is this now? Could be the Clinton connection with this kidnapping. Oh, I don't. Huh? There's a reach with Savannah Guthrie's
mom. Come on.
Yeah,
why would that even make sense?
Maybe it's a joke.
Maybe.
I don't know. I got to tell Dino, the mail carriers like this nice weather. Don't want any snow. Yeah, see, there's a lot that don't want it. Please,
that's
no storms.
True.
Another one there. Yeah.
Can't avoid it.
Oh, we have beef cows that are calving. Yeah, no storms. Well,
Bridget mentioned that earlier, yeah.
Yeah, we get it. All right, we got a fork in this bad boy. We are done. The great Steve Hallstrom, sports guide, coming up next.
All right, have a great one. See you tomorrow.
You bet. 6 o'clock, Friday edition. We'll fire it up in the morning. Have a blessed day.
The mayor of Fargo says no. We won't light up City Hall with the colors of Ukraine because we don't want to take sides. The head of Hennepin County Jail says, no, we won't cooperate with Tom Homan so that we can de-escalate tensions in the county's biggest city. And the biggest children's health provider in Minnesota says, no, we will no longer prescribe puberty blockers and hormones to our kids. Praise Jesus. Good morning, my friend. Good to be with you here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I'm coming to you live from Grand Rapids, Minnesota today. I'm not far from where I grew up in central Minnesota. Love being over here in the state of Minnesota. This is the normal part of the state. It's just like every time I've ever been here. And you hear so much about Minnesota and all the controversy. You do have to remember that most of Minnesota is pretty normal, pretty calm, pretty sane people who would fit in very well in Cass County, North Dakota, or Stark County, North Dakota, or kind of any small town in America. Good people here. I'm glad to be here today. Glad to be with you doing the show as well. So much to talk about. We're going to hop right to it today because, there's just so much ground to cover. Tony Gehrig's going to be here, Fargo City Commission candidate, in about a half hour or so. We're going to talk to Ty Dressler, the state representative out of Richardton, North Dakota, who had what I thought was the common sense approach to school meals in the legislature. I don't think it ever got the light of day. I don't think anybody even really gave his bill much consideration, much time, much respect. Well, I'm going to do what I can here on the program to salute this man for the idea that he had and trying to find a common sense solution here instead of what happened in the legislature and what got passed or what didn't get passed. I should say. So a lot to do here, but let's roll here with the almanac for today. It's February 5th, 2026. The Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy as we come to you here on the 5th of February. We will gain in the Central Time Zone today 2 minutes and 54 seconds of daylight today. I imagine the Mountain Time Zone, it'd be about the same as well. And we will have the sunset Central Time at 5:36 tonight. Yeah, gaining almost 3 minutes now every day, and you can really tell. In the markets today, we've got some fairly light trading in the early going, but we're seeing a couple of continuing themes today. NASDAQ down 333 points, about 1.5%. There is some kind of fear that has taken Wall Street about valuations on tech stocks, and we are seeing a slide. It's been going a few days. And anything especially related to artificial intelligence, which is interesting because there's not really any data, any metrics, any science out there that says that AI is slowing down a bit. This might just be one of those healthy market corrections that we get every once in a while. We're getting a massive correction in cryptocurrencies today. Bitcoin down about $5,000 a coin, almost 7% today. We are under 70,000. We're at 68,415. And in order to find the last time that you could buy a Bitcoin for this cheap, you've got to go back to late July of 2024. So almost 2 years when we had prices that were in the mid 60s. I guess we had to low 60s. Our low in the last, say, 3 years or so was back in late 2022 when you could buy Bitcoin for about 17,000. So not sure where we're going. We are, we've kind of broken all the technical trend lines and moving averages. So it's in a bit of a free fall right now. So we'll see where this ends up. But that's where we're at right now as far as the two big stories in finance today. WTI crude oil down $1.60 at $63.54. Gold and silver both down today. Gold down a little bit, silver down a lot. Gold at $48.71 an ounce, silver at $75 an ounce. And AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, $2.89. That's up 1 cent from yesterday. North Dakota average price, $2.56. Minnesota, $2.66. South Dakota, $2.65. In the news today, boy, do we have stories to tell you about today. I'm going to try to get through as many of them as I can. Fargo will not light City Hall in support of Ukraine on the anniversary of Russia's invasion of the country. Mayor Tim Mahoney said, "We are trying to maintain political neutrality here today." A professor at NDSU, Anastasia Andrianova, put in a request to light City Hall in Ukraine's flag colors, blue and yellow, on February 24th. Mayor says we will not do that. A West Fargo church says an investigation is underway regarding financial misconduct regarding a former employee. WDAY Radio reports that this is Faith Journey Lutheran Church, and the financial misconduct alleged right now involves former business manager Carly Tufte. Tufte has been indicted on federal fraud charges, accused of embezzling about $600,000 from the church. Holy smokes, that is a lot of money. From the church, no less. Oh, boy. You want to look out for lightning bolts walking around if you try to steal 600 grand from a church. Clay County Attorney's Office reports WDAY Radio is going to hold a press conference today about its deadly shooting at a Moorhead apartment building on August 11th. And there were two people that died in that, and it was an officer-involved shooting. Press conference at 10 o'clock today. 42-year-old Nathan Heiberg and 41-year-old Lucas Heiberg of Moorhead. Nathan Heiberg of Moorhead, 41-year-old Lucas Heiberg of Grand Forks, died after being shot by officers. They were doing a, domestic call there, and they tried to get into an apartment that they were, they thought there was something going on inside. And they had gunfire returned as they tried to open that door, and two people ended up dying. We don't know the relationship, both victims with the same name, but the officers have now been mentioned or been named in this. And interestingly enough, two of the officers involved also have the same last name, Kyle and Tyler C. Husen. So it was a domestic assault and a protection order at an apartment in Moorhead. And a woman there said she was assaulted by the Heibergs while a 5- and 6-year-old were in the apartment. So we're going to find out more about that today and get some details there. WDAY Radio reports that there has been a 40% drop in high school girls' basketball participation in North Dakota. There has been something fairly big going on with this nationwide. And nationwide, it's been a 21% drop. But in North Dakota, 40%. It's the third biggest drop-off in any state, according to National High School Federation. So very interesting there. They're going to be talking about it and try to figure out, you know, why there's been a decrease there. There has been an explosion in girls wrestling. They've gone from about 150 girls 5 years ago to about 700. So girls, it's not that they're not participating. They're just participating in different sports. Interesting there. Star Tribune reports today that the sheriff of Hennepin County, which is where Minneapolis is located in, says that she will not honor ICE requests to transfer over prisoners or those in custody once they are done with their term there. And a woman has called for that to be able to take some officers off the street because it would be a much better way to get to the people they need. Sheriff Dawana Witt said in a statement, "Our policy has not changed. At this point, we're having conversations with local, state, and federal leaders about solutions that serve our community." So, hasn't decided yet if they're going to go along with the Holman request. Big story today. Big, big, big story today. Children's Minnesota announced yesterday that it plans to stop prescribing puberty-blocking drugs and hormones to minors who are seeking what they call gender-affirming care. The hospital said its decision was in response to an increase in federal actions. Children's Minnesota is one of the biggest health systems serving children in the entire United States. It is the primary pediatric resource in the upper Midwest. It covers every county in Minnesota and surrounding states. Isn't this amazing that we're starting to see a change there? I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what their motivation is, but I'll say, you know what? This is a very, very, very good thing. Love all of that. All right, and that will give you some of these stories that are making headlines here on this Thursday morning on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back on the program, story of the day, an iconic American retailer, not just closing stores, it's shutting down for good. What happened to Eddie Bauer? Coming to you live today from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less is all it takes to sign the paperwork you need to drive off that lot with a beautiful new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. Wherever I go, the studio goes with me. And glad to have the good folks at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton supporting the Steve Hallstrom Show. We do appreciate them very much. Great job opportunities there as well. So if you're looking for a career change, no better place. Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. 701-271-1100 is our phone number, and you can call into the show today using that number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Mental health, physical health, they take care of all of your needs. ValleyChristian.co, ValleyChristian.co. Email box, studio@flagfamily.com, that's open for you as well. A text line not working today as I am out of our home office studio. So it'll be emails and phone calls today if you want to touch base here on the program. I did get an email yesterday from a regular listener of our program, and his name is Dan. And he sent a note to Scott Hennen and myself yesterday saying, "Guys, it occurs to me that today," so this is yesterday, "is the last day of a full month of the new format on the flag. Even though I was a faithful listener of the Charlie Kirk Show and Jimmy Failla, I have not missed them because I enjoy the current format so much. North Dakotans aren't the odd caller here and there, but every discussion is about what everything means to North Dakotans. Great idea, great choice. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. We all have different people, different shows that we like, right? I mean, if they pulled my favorite TV show off the TV or your favorite radio show off the radio, I would not be happy about it either. I know we heard from a number of you who were not so happy with the changes made, and we have done it for reasons we thought we needed to on the business side, and it has not a cost-cutting move because there's not money that we paid to have certain shows or not have certain shows. It doesn't work that way, but it just allows us to have that local presence and that local energy, and I've heard that now from more and more people, probably over the last week or so, fairly recent, but people saying, I just like that you're talking about stuff that matters here all the time. And so I appreciate those of you who have reached out. If you've got an opinion of a different kind, certainly happy to take those comments as well, studio@flagfamily.com. But I appreciate Dan giving a shout to us yesterday and letting us know his thoughts. So appreciate you, Dan. Thanks for sending the note along there. Okay, story of the day. What happened to Eddie Bauer? Wow. Fox Business had this story this morning. Eddie Bauer expected to close stores in North America as retail operator considers bankruptcy. The retail holding company that we're talking about here, it's a brand called Catalyst, Catalyst Brands. And they are, it's not just Eddie Bauer, but they run the Lucky brand, you know, the Lucky Jeans, Aeropostale, however you say that, Nautica, Brooks Brothers, and JCPenney. So, yikes. I mean, if Eddie Bauer goes down the tube, we might see some of those others as well. Catalyst Brands is preparing to file for bankruptcy protection. And that filing could cause the company to close all of its North American stores, according to sources within the company telling that to Fox Business. I know when I was at the mall last, I saw that Eddie Bauer, no, I wasn't. Tracy told me about that. She said, did you know that Eddie Bauer's having a closing? And then when I was there a couple days later, I walked by and, yeah, they're closing that store down. They're selling everything at good discounts. And, yeah, it's kind of sad. I don't know. Whenever I see a store close, I just think, since I'm a business owner of our company here, I think, oh, how hard would that be? You work so hard to build your company and you think you're doing the right things and you give everything you got, and sometimes it just doesn't work. Even companies that are well run, well managed, that have tried their best, sometimes it just doesn't work out. So if this happens, there's a fairly good chance that the company will close all of its North American stores. Yowza. Now, there's not been a lot of conversation about what's happening with, you know, Lucky, Aeropostale. Nautica was a big brand maybe 20 years ago, kind of just sort of fallen by the wayside a little bit. Brooks Brothers, high-end dress clothes for men. Guys aren't dressing up the way they used to, so maybe that's not so easy. JCPenney has kind of had a long and winding road of good times, bad times. It's been harder for them. I think, though, JCPenney at West Acres has done a pretty nice job. It looks fresh. It looks clean when I go through there. So I think they're doing a pretty good job, but I suppose it's, you know, all the online shopping, online retail has just kind of taken a little bit of a toll, right? I mean, it's not that any one thing is the death knell for a retailer, but there can just be a lot of things that are, you know, kind of getting in the way there. Eddie Bauer has about 180 locations across the U.S. and Canada, and there are 20 international locations as well. Catalyst Brands emerged as a new retail holding company in 2025 through a merger between JCPenney and the Spark Group that ran several clothing brands there as well. And all of these different brands, the article in Fox Business goes on to say, have had difficult times there. JCPenney, slowing foot traffic, lackluster sales for years there. So JCPenney did shut, I know, a bunch of stores last year as it tried to adjust to these times. So Eddie Bauer is one of those kind of iconic stores. I know that it's one that our family has dropped a couple of bucks at Eddie Bauer stores over the years. I got a really great winter parka there just a couple of years ago. And I've always thought that I thought a lot of Eddie Bauer stuff all kind of looked the same. It was a lot of just earthy tone, you know, khaki pants and flannel shirts. And so it's never been my jam, but I know a lot of people have loved that store. And my wife used to like to, or probably still does when we can find them, go and just kind of take a look. And they have good sales there too. So that counts for something. So, yeah, maybe one of those difficult kind of end of an era sort of things there. Another story I saw from the Business Wires today, the federal agency that enforces U.S. workplace discrimination laws said yesterday it's investigating Nike over allegations that its diversity initiatives unlawfully discriminated against white employees and job applicants. Here's a story that you probably wouldn't have seen 3-4 years ago, right? Reuters says the EEOC is saying Nike's refused to comply with their subpoena seeking information on their hiring and promotion practices there. The EEOC says the investigation centers on claims that Nike deliberately treated white employees and job applicants unfairly, including allegations that they were disproportionately targeted for layoffs. Well, isn't this something here? So EEOC is now trying to get records to determine for sure what happened there and if Nike did violate federal anti-discrimination laws. Very interesting. Not the kind of headline you thought you might have seen 10 years ago, but here we are. Isn't that interesting? All right, just a couple things out of the business section here this morning. When we come back, a former Fargo City commissioner wants back in the ring. So why did Tony Garrett get out the first time? Why does he want to get back in? And what needs to change first in the city of Fargo? The Big Deals page at AM1100TheFlag.com is where you go to get some great deals on a lot of stuff that you probably are going to do anyway. You're going to go shopping for entertainment. You might go to a sporting event, health and beauty, home and family, hotels, food and beverage, automotive, all kinds of good deals there. We've also got a one-day auction going on right now. And it just started a little bit ago. It ends at 5 today. And what's being sold is a ceramic coating protection plan for big trucks and SUVs from Extreme Detailing. It's a $1,900 value. Current bid is only $550. These ceramic coatings are amazing. They make cars that are, you know, 20 years old look like they're right off the showroom floor. So check that out, am1100theflag.com. Go to the Big Deals tab, and you'll be able to bid on that. Make a great gift for somebody, too. Pleased to have on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line with me this morning, Tony Garrig. And Tony is a guy that we've known well here on the program for quite some time. I had him on many times when he was a city commissioner in Fargo. And back in 2022, he said, it's time to step away after being in for a couple of terms and need to be able to spend a little more time with my family, my military career as well, and made the announcement earlier this week that he wanted to get back in the game. And so I asked if you would come on and visit a little bit about that. Good morning, Tony. How are you? Tony, can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Yeah, there
man.
You go. There,
all right.
Well, now.
Okay, yep, sounds great. Hey, thanks for doing this, man. I was encouraged to see you got out there and said, I want to do this again, because I thought you were a needed voice on the city commission for the two terms that you were there. I made a decision for personal reasons to step away for a little bit. Now you want to get back in. Why?
Well, almost immediately when I left, I sort of regretted not running again. There were just so many things happening that were just the antithesis of what I was trying to accomplish while I was there as a city commissioner. Our budget went up by, I think, 11% the first year I was gone. We were special assessing more than we ever had in our history, and we keep on doing that as well every year over year. We give away more and more incentives than we ever did in the past. We're building more parking ramps in downtown that again, are all losing money. There were just so many things that were going the wrong direction, I thought. And now is a great opportunity. Like you said, I'm now retired from the military. My son's older now. I'm more able to devote the time that it requires and that it deserves to do this job correctly. And I'm looking forward to getting back into it and trying to rectify some of those issues.
Well, first of all, let me say you're too dang young to retire from anything, so I'm not sure how that works. But I know the rules are the way they are in the military, and the options are different. But I think you've got a lot of energy. I think you got a long time left to contribute and be part of the solutions to what is happening in the community. Tony, whenever I have people on during the budget process, and like you said, it seems to be it's double digits every year in our spending, mm-hmm. and there's all kinds of reasons why we can do it, and well, the mills are going to give us this or whatever. I'm not that smart. I just look at how much money you want to spend, and I know that the government has no money, and it never generates any money. It only has the money that it can take from the people. And so when you say we're going to spend 10%, 11% more, I don't care how you justify it. You're spending higher, much higher than what inflation is claimed to be of anything else. And so what do you say to people when you hear these city commission meetings and they say, well, we just don't have a choice. We've got to, you know, give people the money to keep working here. They'll go somewhere else. And will we, the citizens of Fargo want us to keep that program? I feel like so many times the answers I hear are kind of a shrug of the shoulders. Well, we can't do much about it. Why are they wrong?
It's almost comical, Steve, when you hear those type of things, because they act like everything they're spending money on is completely required in order to keep the city functioning. And we've lost all track of what is our core function as a city of Fargo, you know, landfill, water, sewer, police, fire, snow removal, those type of things. When you think of a city, you know, those are the things that you want to do well and have it, cost the right amount to do it well. There's certainly things in the city's budget that we don't need to be doing. I alluded to parking ramps earlier. We're building more parking ramps. People don't understand. We lose money on those things every single year. They don't make money. They're supposed to make money, but they don't. The last budget cycle that I looked at, I went through and I cut $11 million out of the budget, and it took me about 45 minutes to do so. It was very, very easy to do. So that was about 10% of the budget right there. I was able to cut, you know, sitting in my pajamas in my office in my house. So yes, I find it would be sad if it wasn't so funny, or funny if it wasn't so sad, yeah. however you want to put it. But we could easily be cutting our budget. We could easily be paying our fire and police what they deserve to be paid if we would just put our priorities in the right place. We need to get back to the core functions of Fargo. We need to get back to asking the question, is this the role of city government? And if we keep asking those questions, I think we'll get the right answers.
What was your reaction to what happened not long ago when you had the firefighters kind of started it, but they said, okay, well, if the city budget can't take care of the needs for compensation and benefits and equipment and things like that, then let's go do it a different way and increase the sales tax. Yep. And they were able to get that through. It was hard for me because I said, well, I support those guys and gals a ton.
Of course.
But this isn't the way we do it. Like, this is completely an end around on the taxpayers of Fargo. How did you see all that play out?
There's so much to say about it. All that money's fungible, which means once it all goes into the pot, we don't know where it came from, right? It doesn't matter if it's sales tax or property taxes or wherever that money came from to fund the general fund budget. It's all the same once it gets into the pot of money. So this was the biggest gift in the world to big government spenders, because they can look at the police and go, or the police and fire, and say, oh, look, these first responders you guys, everyone loves, they are asking for money. You better give it to them. And then the big spenders get to go, okay, you know, once we get that money, we're going to waste it. You know, so they're not using that sales tax to fund police and fire. I guarantee you that. I know that 100% to be true. We had in our budget, our general fund budget, through property taxes, through all our other taxes, that money was already earmarked for those folks. Now, once this new sales tax come in, well, we just basically put the sales tax where that placeholder was. We took the money that was already there out, and we spent it on nonsense that we don't need to be spending money on. Does that make sense? And yeah. So when I say it's fungible, that's what I mean. We just simply replaced one, you know, one thing for the other. It doesn't matter where that money is coming from. The sales tax is not how you fund the most important things in your city. Okay, the sales tax can go up, it can go down, it can be erratic. There are down years and up years. You don't have more or less cops because you sold more or less things in the city of Fargo. That's not how you fund those things. They should be top of mind. They should be the first things that we budget for, and there are other things that we should budget last for. So, yes, this is a very, very bad idea. I voted no against it personally as a citizen, and I would have voted no against putting it on the ballot as a city commissioner.
What are those you said we are spending some money on nonsense items? Give me an example.
Oh, there's a lot. We talked about parking ramps. Boy, there's just so many things. All the boards that we have, for example. Now, that's not a big ticket item by any means, but these are things that are not, you know, core to the responsibility of the city of Fargo. We're building a convention center. I mean, you might be for it, Steve. You might be for it, and that's fine. But we have to understand what that is. They're telling us it was a $40 million project, $50 million project, whatever. But even their documents that they have at the city meeting said it's going to be a $100 million building once we paid all the interest on the loan. Okay. Now they're talking about building a hotel on it. Now they're talking about building maybe another parking ramp out there by the dome. Now they're talking about building a shopping area and an entertainment district up by the dome up there, which would be another $100 or $200 million. Do you see what the problem is here? We don't have that money. We're in massive, massive debt in the city of Fargo to the tune of $1.3 billion. And every day that we talk about spending more and more dollars on these things, that goes up. The biggest driver of our debt and the biggest waste of our money in the city of Fargo is special assessments. Did you know that every time a home is built in the city of Fargo, on average, the city goes into debt $50,000 per home? If we build 500 homes in the city of Fargo every year, we're going in debt $25 million every year to build new homes in the city of Fargo. That's a massive debt that we do not need to be doing, and we need to end that process immediately, or we will go bankrupt. And last thing I'll say about bankruptcy is, if we don't stop what we're doing right now, the state will take over our budget. It's in the century code. It is state law that a city can only be 10% in debt to the value of the city. So the city of Fargo is worth, let's just say, $10 billion or $1 billion in debt. Then we have already hit that threshold where the state's going to come in and say, hey, we now own your books. We're going to start selling property, and we're going to now set your budget for you. I don't want someone in Williston setting Fargo's budget for us.
You talked about the convention center process there, and that you've got concerns if the city gets involved with, you know, other development, you've got other costs there. How do you think the city needs to run that process so it's done responsibly, so that the taxpayers of Fargo are not on the hook for any whatever cost overruns, shortfalls, budget deficits, net operating losses, and things like that? What should the city be doing now to make sure that process is done so that it does honor the citizens of Fargo?
A great question, and the answer is they can't. Any loss that comes from the convention center or the adjoining buildings next to it is going to come from the taxpayers' pockets. If the parking ramp at the top of the building loses money on that project, everyone pays for it. If the when the convention center loses money, I'm going to say when, because no convention center in this country makes any money at all, not one. So we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year in the operation of that building, not to mention the debt service, just paying back the loan, but also in the operation of that building, we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars that will come directly from the taxpayer's pocket. There's no way around that. We own that building. So there is no responsible way to do this. The only responsible thing we can do is knock it off. We don't have the money, you guys. We're going to go bankrupt, all right? We are just barreling towards this bankruptcy thing, and everyone seems to be looking at the sky. I don't understand it. There's a big old problem right ahead of us. It's very, very close to us, and we're all looking around, looking at the flowers. I don't understand it. So I don't know how any commissioner in their right mind with a solid conscience can say, hey, this is a good idea for the city of Fargo. No, it's not. We're going to lose a ton of money on this.
They just have to say, here's the max you can spend on it. You can't go over that. Doesn't that take care of that problem?
No. I mean, it would be like operating a business. It would be like operating a radio station and saying, we can't go over budget. What are you going to do, turn off the lights? You know, I don't know what you're going to do. So this building will lose money. There's no way around it. Every single one of them does lose money. You can't fix that.
When we come back with Tony Gehrig, I'm going to ask him about the ward concept. He's in favor of that. We want to dive into that a little bit and find out why a ward system might be the way to go in the city of Fargo. And I also want to ask Tony, the mayor's job is up. Why don't he want to be mayor? We'll do that when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. If you're listening out in KTGO country today, out in the Bakken, anywhere in western North Dakota, you might be wondering, why would I care about Fargo City Commission? Well, as the biggest city in the state of North Dakota, it all kind of flows downhill a lot of times. Culturally, in terms of, you know, fiscal things and how we do things in running big cities. A lot of city commissions, a lot of mayors, elected officials around the state look at Fargo. And it can be a bit of a punchline sometimes with some of the things that we've talked about here. So we're continuing our conversation with Tony Gehrig, who was a city commissioner for two terms, got out in 2022, and is hoping to get elected to a third term coming up here in June. Tony, the commission is going to look different no matter what happens here. Mm-hmm. We've got two people that their terms are up and they are not running again. One is terming out, Dave Pepcorn, and the other is running for mayor, Denise Kolpak. And so you're going to have Michelle Turnberg, you're going to have John Strand, and then Mayor Mahoney is terming out. So you only kind of are assured of two spots on the of the five will look the same after the elections in June. Tell me why you wanted to get involved on the city commission side when the mayor's job was open. Did you give any thought to that?
Sure. And also, by the way, John Strand only has 2 years left. So in 2 years, he'll be gone as well. So it's going to be crazy how different this is going to look. I think pragmatically, Steve, there's two spots for commission. And so it's going to be an easier time getting on back on the commission for that. And, you know, if someone like Dave Pepcorn wins, he can only be mayor for one term. So just pragmatically, I think it makes more sense for me to run for that. And plus, there's going to be a ton of people running for mayor. So you never know how it's all going to shake out. We no longer have approval voting, which is a good thing. So, you know, if I run and say Dave runs, we could probably split the vote, right? And if Denise runs and Boucher runs, then they'll probably split the vote too. So it's going to be very difficult to know who's going to win that. As far as city commission, you know, I'm running for a seat, right? So if I'm first or second place, you get on there. And I believe there's going to be less people running for commission than for mayor. So just pragmatically, that's where I fell on that. And then ultimately, you know, the city commission, the mayor is nothing more than the lead city commissioner. He's the chair of the city commission. He really has no special powers besides emergency powers, besides what the other commissioners have. So everyone gets one vote. Yep, everyone gets one vote. So I figured, hey, if I want to be on there, if I'm seriously getting them back on, I want to make sure that there's a better chance, the best chance, to get on there and have my one vote.
Yeah, as far as, you know, you don't have to declare a party or even a philosophy of politics to be in city commission, but it does seem you tend to get liberal and you tend to get conservative, and conservative, at least on the fiscal side, more than anything else. And on the conservative side of things, there's an opportunity here with these things that happen. And I think you're right on the mayor's side. I think that my opinion is that Boucher and Kolpak will split votes. And if the conservatives are smart, they will get together and say what's best for the city and what's best for getting things done. And they'll find one conservative candidate, because you'll likely have others. Now, I know there's a young guy running for mayor as well, a 20-year-old guy. I think that's fantastic, and I'm glad that he is. Sounds like he's wired the right way, but his chances of winning are fairly slim. I don't know that he splits a lot of votes. But I do hope that on the conservative fiscal side, whoever it is gets together in a room and gets that ironed out so you don't have people splitting votes. Like you said, you and Dave Pepcorn together, I think that would split some votes. So I think you're right on that.
And I have no inside information on this, by the way, but my feeling is that Michelle is waiting. So I hope Michelle doesn't run. I want to see her just continue to be a commissioner. She's very new at the job. She's doing a great job at the job in any regards. But I don't want to see her caught up on this one as well. So I hope that someone else will run instead. But I believe that she's waiting to see what Dave does. Quite frankly, I know that she does not want to split. But again, I have no inside information on that. It's just my feeling that I have.
Yeah, same. I've heard some of those rumblings too, but nothing on the record for sure. Let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Dana wants to ask a question of Tony. Good morning, Dana.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Tony. Tony, I want to help convince the people to back you. What they're doing here is this, and I'm totally with you 100%. They want to take the people's money to develop this new center and plus all these other projects, shopping, parking, whatever, which in turn is going to destroy your businesses around there, the same people that they expect to provide the money for these projects. And then when they're not be able to fund this and provide this money, it goes broke, and then the state takes it over, and we have what they call a pure communist system where the state is running everything, and the people have absolutely no say. So if you get in
go ahead.
So when you get in there, I'd like all you guys to open your minds to new ideas and listen more to your people. Go a different direction, because the one we're on is never going to work if we keep doing the same thing.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate you calling. Tony, only about 30 seconds left, but what would you say to respond to that?
That last part is something I agree with, that we need to change the direction of where we're going. The spending is far too much. I hope there's not a deep state that deep in Fargo.
Let's hope. Real quick, 10 seconds. You're in favor of the ward system. Give us your best 10 seconds. Why?
Yep. The city of Fargo is a far different city than it was 120 years ago when we hit. I'm sorry. Yeah, 115 years ago when we started a commission style of government. North Fargo is very different than South Fargo. Downtown is not the same as Lindenwood Park. So we need to represent the city of Fargo with an understanding that the city is different, depending on where you live, and have a representation that mirrors that.
Sure. Well done. Thanks. That's not easy to boil that answer down into a few seconds, but we appreciate it. Tony, thanks for doing it. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. I appreciate you making time. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. See you soon, Steve.
Take care. The Key 3 coming up next.